Hello, and welcome to the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative to record America's family history in sound. Oral histories are one of the most personal and rewarding ways to preserve family stories. The Tell Me a Story sessions are 45-minute interviews between two people with the assistance of a trained facilitator. Participants will receive a compact disc with the full interview. A copy will be archived at the Midwest Genealogy Center and, with permission, later made available to the public. And now, another story.
Good afternoon. This is Willard Welch doing another one of our Drum alumni interviews. And today we have with us another alumni. Randy, can you give me your full name, please?
Randall Eugene Winkler.
Oh, and by the way, this is December 13th, 2012, on a Thursday afternoon. Did you have a nickname at the farm, Randy?
Not really. Most of them just call me Randall or Randy or Winkler is what they mostly call me. That was it.
Okay.
Most of my friends today just call me Wink because it's easier. It's a pretty
easier.
Easier.
And where did you come from to the farm?
Okay. The probation people downtown Kansas City, I was taken away from my adoptive family because of child abuse, and I was down there at downtown Kansas City, and this lady, Eleanor Hamilton, had heard about Drum Farm, so she had a meeting with Mr. Berkemeyer, and so she says, well, let's see how you want to go out and see what you think of it. And the first time I met Mr. Berkemeyer, well, his full name is George Carl Berkemeyer. He did tell me that off the bat, but I always call him Mr. B. Anyway, was it August 6th, I was a fifth grader at the time. And the things that stand out on me was his strong hand grip and his firmness, you know, the way he talked and all that.
Right.
And there was a young man by the name of Daryl Bennett, was already out there. And he showed my aunt and uncle and I around the place and all that. It took about 35, 40 minutes. And then I had the actual sit-down interview with Mr. Berkemeyer right then.
Oh.
And, because see, when you came from downtown, you usually were a bad boy, you know what I'm saying? You didn't have the cleanest record. Well, I did, because it was all child abuse and all that.
Right.
And all that. And Mr. Berkemeyer looked at me and square in the eyes, those steel blue eyes of his, if you remember. And he said, well, take a chance on him. And I guess after that, the rest is history is what they say, because Drum Farm say actually, not only mentally, but physically and everywhere else, saved my life.
Right.
Because I probably would have been in jail, dead, or whatever, if it hadn't been for that place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to be frankly honest about it, because there was nowhere else for me.
Right.
And everything else. And I wanted to go back to my adoptive parents.
Oh, right. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Now, when you came, did you come by yourself?
Yes.
Uh-huh. I mean, no sisters or
brothers? No. There's. I came from adopted. There's big family. Four is adopted. Three of them are original products, original children, biological children. Let's use the term.
Okay.
And all that. So I'm the only one that came from that family.
Mm, okay. And how long were you at the farm?
I was out there from the end of my fourth grade year till I graduated. So it'd be 8 years.
8 years. Wow.
Yes. Yep, it was just in the end of my fourth grade year, I remember
right.
that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were out there a long time then.
Mm-hmm.
And the farms had several high schools. Which high school did you attend?
I went to Truman. We went to Hamthorne Elementary, then to Palmer Junior High, and then to Truman High School.
Oh. You didn't go to Bristol Grade School?
No.
Oh.
We went to Hamthorne.
Okay, all right. Did you participate in any of the school activities? Or?
I was in all the sports you could name up. I mean,
at school.
Oh, at school. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I played football, baseball, wrestled, track, and I was into public speaking and some theatrical classes I took, too, and all that kind of stuff, doing that kind of those kind of things. I always wanted to be involved in everything, so I did. I got involved in it. I was in Letterman's Club and everything else. You name it, I was there.
Well, that's great. Yeah. Now, you also participated in the drum sports.
Yes, sir, yes. I can remember Mr. Brown. People don't know this, but his full name was Claude Kenneth Brown. He was
You're right, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was Paiute Indian.
Oh.
Yeah, he was Indian, very much.
Wow.
And he was a lifesaver, but he always talked to us at meal times. He'd sit back and we'd have what we call philosophy meals. And he talked to us about the three things that were important to us we need to look for was like, you always want to wear the good clothes, drive the good cars, and eat the good food. Those three things stuck with me the rest of my life. He'd always talk about them, but he always mentioned that without the education, you're not going to get them.
True.
You know, and he says, I do sports because it gets a release. He said, but if you don't have the education, you're not going to get anywhere. And he was very, very sincere about that. I can tell you my first breakfast, we had poached eggs, cinnamon toast, and Raisin Bran cereal. And the reason I remember that is the seniors at Mr. Brown's table, I sat at his table, and I didn't know this, but it wasn't a policy, but they said it was. You weren't supposed to eat the cinnamon toast. They were eating it because they were up the class. It took me almost 3 weeks before I got my first piece of cinnamon toast.
Your first practical joke.
Yep. They said, this is it.
Now, while you were at the farm and in school, do you remember any of the fads that happened during that time period?
The fads?
Fads, you know, hairstyle.
Long hairstyle, the bell-bottom pants, Levi jeans. We would kill over Levi jeans. I mean, we'd spend them, we'd save our money and go buy a pair of Levi jeans. And the shoes, the platform shoes were like that and all that kind of stuff. The transparency color shirts. They were like silk, but they weren't, you know, and all that and everything else. I can remember that too.
Were those Seymours?
Yes, that's it, Seymour.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And the winter coats. They always had those fur hoods on them.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody liked them. They just couldn't stand them. I remember that. So.
Yeah. And see, now you said, what year did you graduate?
1970, sir.
70s, okay.
There was 10 in the class.
Because the way you were speaking sounded like the 60s.
There was 10 in our class.
Wow.
You know, we'd had more, but we lost three of them because one ran away, one got adopted, and one, we don't know to this day what happened to her.
Mm.
You know, he just, I don't know, attrition or whatever, but he was gone. And we lost one because he had to get married his sophomore year in high school. That's Warren Evans.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Warren just got to do working on my house.
Oh, well,
yeah,
good.
That was tough on all of us, Willard. He came home one night. We just got done playing sports or something. We were sitting there, and Warren walked in and was packing. And he was Mickey Chandler's roommate, I believe, or Bob Kennedy's, one or the other. He's packing. We said, what are you doing? He says, I got to leave.
Hmm.
We said, what do you mean you got to leave? You're going to graduate. You're not going to graduate, you know? That was important to us, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, well, Sharon's pregnant, and we had a meeting with the board. They had a meeting at the board, and they said I couldn't stay. That was a terrible loss. That bothered us more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Warren had been there before we were.
Right.
You know, and all that. So that was a tough one.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we lost some others. Richard, Mike Hodkinson and David Burroughs. And a couple others we lost. We would have had 16 and we'd have kept everybody.
Wow.
Yeah, we had the biggest class ever.
Yeah. That's amazing. Now, getting into some of the memories at the farm, what 4-H and FFA memories do you remember?
The Stone family. I remember Mr. Stone and his family. I believe it's Bill Stone. His daughters, all that, were always involved in the cattle and FFA and 4-H building stuff and all that. They would come out every year for the 4-H contest and everything else. And of course, I guess it was such a blur. But everybody I remember we meet a lot of people. The one person I have to give credit to on that 4-H was Arthur Kelly.
And one really,
he was the big gun behind 4-H.
Yeah.
I mean, he made sure we had projects and everything else. And he was He was in my book, he was a top gun. He'd make sure you had a project, you had to do this. The one thing that sticks out in my mind about 4-H, more than anything else, other than the projects, her name was Mrs. Anderson. She was a house mother in the West Building.
Oh, okay.
Short Dutch German woman. Her thing was good cleaning, good grooming habits.
Right.
Well, I never knew what they were talking about. I went down there and entered something. I didn't even know I was supposed to enter or not enter, and got a white ribbon. I thought I'd done great. And I went back to the dorm. She was very upset. She says, "You don't know what good grooming is." I said, "No." So that's where I learned to keep my fingernails clean, my mouth clean, brushing your teeth, keeping your shirts pressed, and everything. So I entered again and got a blue. That made her day and my day.
Sure.
And some of those habits to this day stick with me now because I'm 61. And, you know, and I still keep them, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And you know, they don't get away from me.
No, those kind of things stick with you. Now, do you remember any of the projects that you had?
Yes, I do. The two main things was, one was the pigs. The first year I had the pigs, I had 13. The second year I had 12. The thing I remember
big letters.
The thing I remember more than anything else is getting out there at 2:30 in the morning or 1 o'clock in the morning, practically sleeping with the hogs so she wouldn't sleep on her pigs,
yeah,
taking care of them.
Roll over.
Man, it was cold, too. And even yeah. The heaters were still cold.
Right.
And then we had the sheep, and then we had the beef and all that. I remember with the beef, we had American Royal. If you remember that, mm-hmm. We had to go down there.
Right.
And the first time we showed them, I was real young, that beef, the bull snorted. I mean, just snorted out loud. I jumped the fence, and I was gone. Arthur had to come after me and say, he's only clearing his nose out. He don't mean anything by it.
Yeah.
And all that. I said, oh, okay. That was a rude awakening. So it was interesting, let me say that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, that was some of the 4-H. Do you remember anything with the FFA?
The public speaking.
Okay.
I believe in the future of farmers, of faith born of not of words, but of deeds. I got first place in the year we had to give it as a graduation speech.
Oh,
we had to do it at graduation.
Oh, okay.
And we had to give a speech and all that kind of stuff. And it was a public speaking. The other thing was the woodworking we had to make. We had to make birdhouses mm-hmm. and something else. And I can remember Mr. Kelly's thing about the livestock. 3 months, 3 weeks, 3 days. You had pigs.
Mm.
You count to the letter on that every year if you're in that farm. And then the other was entomology. That was his cup of tea.
Oh.
Entomology. It was interesting about bugs and ants and
right.
everything and all that kind of, you know, those little ugly creatures. I said, man, who cares about them? You know, we would say. But he was very serious about that.
Yeah.
We couldn't graduate unless we went through his class and passed with a passing grade.
Well, he was your ag teacher?
Yes.
Okay.
He was our ag teacher for 2 hours a day until we got into high school. And all that, but he was tough.
Mm-hmm.
He meant well. I mean, he taught us a lot of things, but that entomology, if you did okay, he was happy out there.
Now, did you have any, with FFA, did you have any of those radio skits or the parliamentary procedures?
Parliamentary procedure, we went to state finals in Warrensburg 3 years in a row.
Okay.
And we won it 2 years, and we had to get up and, you know, objection and everything else, the whole
right.
work. And that helped me in high school with the public speaking in high school. I would never got the grades I got in public speaking mm-hmm. in high school, went for that because I wasn't what you call a bashful person, but speaking politically correct was another thing.
Oh, yes, I understand.
Yeah,
right.
And I said, so that's what I did more than anything else.
Right. Well, I'll give you a good background.
Yes.
Now, let's get to money here. Do you remember your allowances?
$1.60 a month, sir.
Wow.
And I said, and the seniors got $5 a month, but, you know, and $1.60 a month didn't last very long because on Saturday nights, boss would go to the store and get us what we call treats. You know, it's a term we'd use, and ice cream and candy and all that. I want to tell you a story about our allowance. We went to church, and we got not scolded but talked to about our tithing. And we all sit there and say, we only make $1.60 a month. What do you expect? And the church was saying, you need to tithe half of that. So we went.
Who was giving you this lecture?
First Baptist Church of Independence.
Oh, all right.
And we went to Mr. Berkmeyer, and he went up and talked to him, and they left us alone after that. You know, and all that, and everything else. And And I used to be, when I said Sunday school at the First Baptist Church, when we had the children's Sunday school we go to, there's a guy who's an engineer, and he donated $100 a week. Well, I didn't know what he's doing, but he was an engineer. Yeah, he made a lot of money.
Right.
And I said, oh, you know, that's where I learned the 10% and all that kind of stuff and everything. So, you know, but see, I always believe now, I do for sure, is what you give to God is between you and God. It's nobody else's business.
That's right. Exactly.
You know.
Yeah. So. Any donation.
Any donation.
Yeah. And do you remember now, with your $1.60, were you able to save any of it? Or
heck
did you spend it?
I spent that baby like there's no tomorrow. We all did. I mean, Mr. Brown, we get paid first Saturday of each month. And by Sunday night or Monday morning, you're flat broke. You didn't have much money.
Right.
Now, even if people sent you money, you still spend it, you know.
You know. Let's talk about chores. What was your favorite chore?
Favorite chore, honest to goodness, was collecting eggs.
Really?
Yep.
Oh.
And milking the cows. Those were two of my favorites. I love milking the cows. Yeah. I know everybody says, you know, first time I did, I got kicked in the head, but I didn't mind. But maybe that's what's wrong with me today, but... Yeah. But anyway, but doing the eggs didn't bother me, and milking the cows didn't bother me. And my least favorite was scraping the chicken roost.
Oh, yeah.
That was a mess. Remember how we had to go like this and put them in that?
That and the lower barn scraping out behind the beef cows.
Yep, or use a pitchfork on some of that stuff to get all that old. That was nasty.
Filling up that fertilizer wagon.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Now, were you involved in any construction projects?
Yes, we built the addition onto the office.
Okay.
Mr. Brookmeyer's office.
Right.
We built the addition on that.
Okay.
And we built the mess hall, the dining hall, our class did.
Oh, okay.
We did that.
All
and
right.
then there was a guy by the name of Kirkham. Yes, Mr. Kirkham. He was a painter. And he came out and helped us with the painting.
Okay.
But we had people come out and guide us with the bricklaying and the concrete. We actually had people come out. They would do it. We would help them. We would assist them.
Yeah.
But they showed us how to do it right and all that. We did that. And we were going to lay the groundwork for the Logan building. But I graduated before that was finished.
Oh, yeah.
All that kind of stuff and everything else. So it was fun. It was Mr. Berkmeyer's office was a real nice project. That's where I learned about. You put metal in the concrete, you know, and make it solid and, and everything else. Guys and everything else. And so,
gave you a lot of practical experience with things that you need to do around the house.
Sure do, yeah.
Yeah, maintenance.
Maintenance, yep.
Yeah. What kind of entertainment do you remember at Drum?
We used to go to the shows. Well, every once in a while we go to play. I always remember the 4-H fair. Every year we had a 4-H fair. I can tell you, in 68, we were peeling potatoes, and we were peeling a bunch of them. We were not peeling them, we were coring them, trying to get done real quick.
Oh.
But we were trying to get out of there. We peeled two buckets, we thought were two buckets. Well, we were sitting on the east building on the north side, peeling them. And we thought we were done. And this station wagon pulls up, and Mr. Berkmeyer gets out of the car, and we're getting ready to go take him into the kitchen. He says, come here. And unbeknownst to us, he'd been watching us across in his office. And he poured that water out, and there was probably about that much, about 5 minutes, maybe 3 inches of potatoes in there. He says, you guys planning to go somewhere? We said, yeah, 4-H fair. And you remember, it was held at the Extension Center then.
Oh, okay.
The Greasy Pig contest and everything, barbecue.
Yeah.
And he said, you fellas got a little bit of work to do before you go. You're not going to go this first round. And we had to sit there and peel two more buckets of potatoes before we could go. We learned then, peel the potatoes, get a ball, get it over with, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And anything else.
Yeah, that's one of the things you learned is you got a job, you do it.
Complete it. Oh, yeah.
He
was very much about that. He was tough. Those German eyes, the blue eyes of his. They could look soft, but man, could they look mean.
Yeah,
still look at it.
Let's see, now, we already covered church. What about dating? Do you have opportunities for dating?
Yeah, we could go out on Friday nights. You'd be home by 10:30.
Oh,
but since I was playing football all the time, I thought more about, well, the girls are all right, but there was this, how do you call it, or deal about us that we weren't quite like everybody else.
True.
because you didn't have any cars or anything else.
Right.
It was tough to ask the girl's parents to come pick you up and all that kind of stuff.
Or her brother.
Her brother or somebody to pick you up and have you back by 10:30 and all that. So most of my stuff was with football, baseball, basketball, whatever, the dances and all that kind of stuff. After the games, I get to stay for a while and then come home.
Right.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I had some friends, Randy Rice, Kent Sincox, and them all would take me places with them. They had cars around. Oh. I'd go with them and we go get an A&W root beer float or and all that kind of stuff, and we'd have a good time, but I'd be home by a certain time.
Right.
They were pretty good about
it. But see, you had an advantage over the prior generation.
Right.
Because when you went to East, your friends were in the city.
Yes.
So you didn't have those guys in Independence like you did. So but, you know, things change.
Yep.
And what about personal vacations?
You mean just on my own?
Yeah, you know, during the summer, you got a week or two?
Oh, I guess
if you had somebody.
If wanted to. I remember one summer I got to go see my adoptive parents for 3 or 4 days, but that turned out to be a mess. I wasn't. That was not going to be good anyway.
Okay.
And my grandmother would come and get me every once in a while for 2 or 3 hours, but that'd be it. But the thing I remember about summer vacations is every August, we get done with the hay season. We meet out underneath those oak walnut trees and by the smokehouse, all of us would. Mr. Brookmar would have a list of 3 places we could pick to go. We would vote on going.
Mm-hmm.
See, we went to Washington, D.C., we went to Colorado, we went to Minnesota a lot, Lake Carlos State Park, Alexandria, Missouri.
Yeah.
We went there a lot. That was neat to learn fishing.
Right.
You remember Blackstrap Molasses Syrup?
Oh, yeah.
That's where George Brookmar introduced us to it at, was there.
I still use the stuff.
We do too. I told my aunt and uncle about it with hams. You know how you decorate the hams with it?
Right.
And seals it in. We still use it today. People say, that stuff stings. I said, no, dog. Just think it does. It's good stuff. You know that. But that was what I remember, one of those vacations I went with. We'd go fishing. And the introduction to Drum Farm was, if you were a new boy at Drum Farm, that was your first vacation. Remember, you had to roll your pant leg up, your left pant leg, because you were a new boy. You were a new one, and you were going to get drowned. We got tossed in the water out there in the middle of the lake.
Yeah.
You better learn. We had some could swim. You learned to swim quicker. You were going to be
coming
back and all that.
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Those were good. Those days I'd take back. I'd go back and relive those days. Those were the
Well, because you all went as a group.
Yeah. Remember we took the green bus we called the Pickle and the truck and the van. We took a car, the van, and all that. And Mr. Brown always drove the bus.
Really?
Yeah, George Brookmeyer drove Mr. Brookmeyer drove the car, and Arthur Kelly drove the truck because they had our tent in it and everything else.
And the food.
Food and all that. Remember, we started at Storm Lake, Iowa.
Right.
And Mr. and Mrs. Ray Mudd were in charge of that place up there.
Yeah.
And we put the tent out and they always had cookies for us, cookies all the time.
Mm.
Chocolate chip, they're still good to this day. But she always made cookies for us and all that. And she would make it so good. And we'd pack up next morning. We did our own packing up. If you remember, we had to do everything ourselves. And everything, and all that kind of stuff and everything. And we stopped somewhere one time. I can't remember where we was at. I think it was on the way to Colorado trip. And we listened to some music. And Ron Rivera was there. And Ron was a good musician, drummer.
Yeah.
And they asked him to come up. He played several songs with the band.
Cool.
Yeah, I remember that. He was he's a natural drummer.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff.
Wow.
There's one thing about the vacation I remember more than anything else. And we went to Colorado. And Steve Soar and Dale Williams, all of them were the seniors at the time. And we went up to Glacier Park. And Mr. Brookmeyer emphatically told us not to go to this park. Well, what do you know? When you get a bunch of knuckleheads together, things happen. Well, they got caught up there in that deal, and Steve Soar got caught in between the crevice and the ice, and he slipped and got caught. They had to life flight him out of there.
Oh.
And I've only seen George Brookmeyer upset twice in my whole career. And that was one of the times, because they had to life flight him out there, and he was not where he's supposed to be.
Right.
And all that. And that was one of the times. The other was, if you remember, we used to have sheep up by his house up there.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's at 65 or 64. The dogs came across the fence, attacked our sheep, and killed a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And I can remember riding up the car with Mr. Brookmeyer, and That's the first time I ever seen a shotgun in my life.
Oh, yeah.
And he had a rock saw then. Mm-hmm. He loaded, and he blew those dogs' rear ends out.
Yeah.
Because they attacked our sheep. And
oh, sure.
We lost our whole herd that year. Each one of us did. We lost our money that year. Well, the insurance paid us back.
I guess.
But as far as we lost over half our herd that year because of the dog.
Yeah.
They wouldn't eat them. They just run them to the creek and break their necks.
Yeah.
And chew their necks up.
Right.
And all that kind of stuff. That's the only two times I ever saw Mr. Berkmeyer ever frustrated or ever maybe come close to losing his composure. Because you got to admit, you never saw him.
Oh, no.
You know, no. He never acted mad. Mm-mm. I mean, a bunch of around young.
He always acted disappointed in us.
Yeah, that's the main. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah,
politically correct. That's a good way. But and the other thing was, I remember if you mentioned fishing, he was gone. He loved to fish.
Yeah, he loved the outdoors.
He loved the outdoors. Yeah. You know, and all that. He taught you to appreciate it. It's what he really taught you. You know, that kind.
Definitely.
Of stuff. You know, why was a job to us? But now I wish I had that job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I love the outdoors. I mean, you know, and all that. It's just, you know, and everything else. So.
Now, while you were at the farm, did you, with all the activities you had, did you develop any job skills?
I guess I do. The best way it is today, when you give me a job, I see it all the way through.
Right.
Pardon the expression, I don't half-ass it. Let's do the job and get it done right.
Right.
I can give you a story about that, how I learned that. We had soapboxes back then.
Oh.
Soapbox Derby was there.
Right.
And I wasn't good with my hands. I'm not good. I'm not one of these guys that can remodel his room and make it look good.
Right.
Well, the soapbox taught me that lesson early, that I need to do something else. And I tried and tried. Finally, Mr. Brown talked to me. He says, son, you're not going to get it done on time. I said, I know. What am I going to do? He says, don't ever quit a job. He says, let's pass it off to somebody else. And we sure did. All that. But what I was good with was bookwork, numbers and all that. I was very good at that stuff. And everything else, and that's what led to my degree in microcomputing and accounting.
Mm.
I'm more of a numbers man than I am anything else. I mean,
that's good.
You know, I've been treasurer of several organizations,
and
all that kind of stuff. So that's, you know, I had that, and one for the work tenacity or the, you know, stay with it, whatever you do, is what taught me that. You know,
well, that's good.
You know, you and I both know long days to us was 12 was 14 hours. Anything less was short day.
Yeah.
You know,
you're right.
So,
did you develop any hobbies while you're out there, or any interests?
You name every sport. I was into sports. I like.
But I mean, something that continued after graduation.
Yeah, sports and
and
public speaking.
Oh, good.
Because I stayed with that and so I now give what they call motivational talks because I'm a referee in my prior service and all that. And I talk to people about, I'm going to say it this way, God led me into officiating for a reason. And so sometimes when you talk to people, you can use God as a base, but officiating is covered, but it leads into God. You know, it's one way of doing that. So.
Yeah.
But public speaking has always been it's never been one of my weaknesses. I've never been shy of that. Never.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, you mentioned that you graduated. What year was that?
1970, sir.
And how old were you at that time?
I was the oldest in my class. So I think I was 18.
18?
Yeah.
Okay.
I turned 19 that year.
Oh, okay. After graduation.
Yes.
Okay. Do you think drum could have better prepared you for life after graduation?
The only thing not a knock. The only thing they might have prepared us more for was how to handle finances.
Right.
You know, because we never did do a checkbook. We never did do anything with money. Mm-hmm. The only thing they might have done was helped us learn how to handle money better.
Right.
But other than that, there's nothing else. Because wasn't for that, when I went to the Army was cakewalk compared to Drum Farm. You know, getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and. You know, pushing it all day, you know, and following orders and all that. It's a snap. Everybody else is crying for their mothers and grandmothers. And I look at them and say, man, you ain't been where I've been. I say, you know, get up and all that kind of stuff. So
right.
It was pretty much easy, though.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And you went to the service. Was that right after high school?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Now, did you go to college or trade school afterwards?
Yeah, I went to two colleges and graduated from UMKC.
Oh, good. And your degree was in?
Microcomputing accounting.
Oh, okay.
No, not UMKC, I'm sorry. Hamilton Business College.
Oh, okay.
Hamilton Business College.
All right.
That's where I went and graduated with microcomputing accounting.
Hmm, okay. So you are a veteran?
Yes, sir.
What branch were you in?
United States Army.
Army, okay. And you were in how long?
9 years.
9 years?
Yes.
Wow.
Now,
you reenlisted?
A couple times.
Yeah.
Like a damn fool.
Well, it was a good experience.
It taught me a lot. It really did.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah, the service does.
Yeah, and it changed you, you know, molds you a little, make you a little stronger and able to stand up, you know, on your own 2 feet and a lot longer.
Well, it also helps you develop a occupational career.
Yes, yes. Huh?
So that,
because after that I went to, and everywhere I went I was promoted because I knew how to handle people.
Right.
And everything else and how to be, you know, work with people instead of being against them. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, of all the things that you learned at Drum, what would you consider the most valuable?
Probably how to get along with, you know, your personality skills, how to get along with people.
Right.
Because you know yourself, in my class, we had 10 of my class along with the others, and everybody was different.
Right.
So you had to be able to read your fellow drum, your people quick. Somebody's mad, leave them alone, they're in a good mood, whatever,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
Put those hands-on skills, all that. Because I was the mediator. I always, if somebody was arguing, I'd go in the middle of them and say, what's wrong, you know, and try to find a peacemaker,
right.
The peace to makers. You know, and there was one to be a violent person, you know,
right.
At the time. Some people, we had some that really had nasty tempers.
I mean,
just nasty tempers, and you didn't want to mess with them. And
well, when you get 25 guys together, at least, you know.
We had 60 after one time, Willard.
That's right. That's
we had
right.
60 people
that.
After one time.
Yeah, at one time.
And
yeah.
We were, you know, and I to this day don't see how George Carl Brookmeyer did it. I really don't. I couldn't handle 60 people of them kind. I mean, not today you can because you got more legality, but.
Well, the atmosphere was different.
Yes.
And I think most of the guys out there thought of it as home and they wanted to stay.
The ones who didn't
want to leave.
The ones who didn't, they found a way of leaving.
That's true.
You know, they really did. They didn't want to stay. There's nothing stopping them. There was no gates lock or, you know, all that kind of stuff. So.
No. So now you were in the service. Did that help you choose your profession?
No, not really, because I was in helicopters and tanks, all that in the Army.
Okay.
What chose my profession is I used to watch TV and watch the shows that do with bookkeepers and counting and all that kind of. And I like numbers from the beginning. I always did like numbers.
Okay.
Adding up figures and see how you get there.
The business school probably helped then.
Yes.
Okay.
That's how you get on all that kind of stuff and everything else.
Right. So then your profession was accounting?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Pretty much.
And how do you believe drum influenced your success?
One was never quit a job until the job is done.
Right.
Whatever the task is given, you see it all the way through. Be it good, be it bad.
True.
See it all the way through. And the other was life is a little short, so you need to get along with your fellow people. You know, to this day and age, we got so many people that are so mad at each other over silly stuff. And I don't have any children. Janice, I don't have children. We have 3 miscarriages. But my family knows I will be there for them. I don't care what it takes, we will be there, you know.
Right.
If you need help, you got to ask for it, or you got to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
If we can help, we'll help. You know, that's
right.
The one thing is, because you got to believe in your fellow man, you're going to help them.
Oh, yeah. And which accomplishments are you most proud of?
Probably one is graduating from Drum Farm.
Right.
I'll be sincere and honest. That's the main thing is, when I first went out there, I forgot I'd be runaway or somebody shoot
right.
you or something. You never know in that environment. You don't, you know, and all that. There was one was to graduate from there, Drum Farm and the high school.
Right.
Was it the others have been like graduate from boot camp from military.
Mm-hmm.
And the main thing is, I guess, the best thing that ever happened to her was marrying Janice.
Oh,
she was tough enough and strong enough to put up with what she had to put up with us, you know, because as your wife can probably relate, you know, we're not exactly The same way he was raised.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. We had different backgrounds.
We had different backgrounds, and it was a lot tougher.
Right. Oh, yeah. Now, living at the farm and with 25 to 40 different guys, do you have any funny stories or humorous incidents?
A couple of them. We used to get in trouble because in the first 2 hours, we always had to be at the farm in our early years during the school year. Well, Mr. Kelly would say, you guys, and we'd be gone. We'd all run to the building, change our clothes. We didn't want to smell like manure. We went to school.
Right.
And we had these shower doors that were slatted. And we would always manage to break a set of those about once a month. I mean, just break them. We just go right through the doors. We had some characters, Mickey Chandler, Carl Riley, and Mike Hotkins and I and others. We just go right through them. Well, this went on for about a couple months. And Mr. Berkmont came over one day, had a meeting with us. And he says, this is not going to happen. This is not a drum farm policy. We're not going to break any more shower doors or it'll come out of some people's allowances.
Mm.
And that taught us. The other thing was, when we were in junior high and going to high school, Mr. Hamilton, he knew Mickey Chandler, used to bring his treats or food out. And there was these cans of corn chips called Bugles. They were little-shaped Bugles. And Jim Payne was the biggest, how you say this, pack rat I ever met. Well, we didn't notice, but he'd put cans underneath his bed. And then when we would get kind of hungry, he'd pull out a can and say, here's some Bugles. Them things would be a year old, and we'd still eat them. And we were, you know, when you're house duty, you know, you clean the house.
Right.
Well, I lived underneath one time. He probably had 40 cans underneath there, and they were stiff and old, but we'd eat them. That I can remember. The other one was Lee Snell. Leroy Wayne Snell was his name. He was in my class. He was a future taxidermist. He'd take the hides off of animals, and he would try to put them in that liquid they do. Well, right. His room one day, we'd go in there, and it smelled like death warmed over. And he had taken one of those hides and put it in his closet, hung in his closet to dry. And our house mother went crazy.
I bet.
Mr. Burmeyer walked in there. Needless to say, he wasn't in there any longer. That was it. And all that. And then we went on a camping trip one time up to Minnesota. And we went fishing. And we were running.
We're running a little long. That's a good way to, good place to change it. What words of wisdom or advice would you like to share for others from your experience, life experiences?
Well, first of all, put God first.
Okay.
That's number one. Then your family, and then your business.
Mm-hmm.
Because they all go hand in hand.
True.
But nothing can be done without God's love and power. If you don't have that, you're going to be lost the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah.
And your family's right there. Mm-hmm. You know? Nothing in front of your God and your family and then your business.
Okay.
That's what I would say. If you go that route, you're going to be pretty successful.
Okay. And what have you done that no one would ever guess you'd done? In terms of, you know, achievements or maybe an incident or something?
Lettering in football, varsity football, because I was the smallest guy on the team.
Oh, I can believe that.
I stayed all 3 years of high school with it and never missed a practice. And letter.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing probably people wouldn't believe is because it's my height and stature, you know,
right.
All that. So that's right. And graduate from drum farm. That's the other thing.
And one last thing. What's the one thing that you would want people most to remember about you? How would they think about you? How would you want them to remember you?
I was a nice guy.
Okay.
You know, just cared about people.
Right.
And human beings. You know, especially drum farm boys.
Oh, yeah, the alumni.
Alumni. Because they're our family, you know.
That's the way I look at it.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, we've covered a lot of our different areas. Is there anything you'd like to add that you'd like to address?
I really appreciate what the city's done with this drum farm, the library and everything else and all that.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I think the legacy needs to be carried on.
No, definitely.
For the next 1,000 years, and the only way it's going to be done is by what the alumni is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't do it, nobody else will, and we'll die.
Well, that's
and
true.
I want when I go to heaven, I want George Carroll Burkemeyer to come up to me and shake my hand and say, "A job well done." Or the old expression he used to say, that you, if you got it out of him, you're done good.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's the way it is. So,
well, we've concluded another interview. Hope you enjoyed it and learned from it. We appreciate your help. Thank you. Bye.